Good morning. Greet you in Christ's precious name. And yes, we look forward to that day over yonder when we get home. That's a beautiful song. Thank you, Lyle, for leading those songs. And as we gather to worship and to learn from God's Word, I pray that all of us would be in a spirit of reverence, and that the Holy Spirit could speak to each of our lives. If you're visiting us, we ask that you worship with us. Seems as though there are some that are missing. The benches are not all full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we know our frailty, we know our humanness. We need you to meet us here this morning. We want to worship in spirit and in truth, and to honor you in a way that we can, with giving our worship and our lives to following you. Pray, God, that you would remove distractions and that you would receive all the glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, in his ministry, would often speak in parables to the people that he was speaking to. And the crowds would hear a story, profound truths that were hid in a story. And the kingdom of God is like a treasure buried in a field. And if you weren't paying attention, if you were just there because the crowds were there, you might not have picked up what is he trying to say. Oftentimes, there are treasures of godly wisdom or kingdom principles that were tucked away in these stories, a story about a tree or grass or oil in a lamp or a farmer's soil. But why? Why did Jesus use parables? That was a question that I was wrestling with this past week a little bit. And one of those reasons is that we won't hear spiritual truth unless we are really ready to receive that spiritual truth, unless we're really listening. And these people weren't listening and seeking God, then it's a good chance that they wouldn't have understood the parables that he was speaking. They didn't have a Bible to read and reread like we do. They didn't have Matthew Henry commentaries to try to figure out what they just heard. Or they couldn't cross-reference because they didn't have those things. They were hearing it in real time for the first time. They were hearing Jesus speaking a parable. And if they were distracted in any way, things on the outside, things within them, they would miss it. They would miss what they just heard, totally miss it. And how many times have I missed what God is trying to tell me? Maybe it was through His Word or through a friend or through a message that I heard or in a still small voice in a time of prayer. But I was distracted and so I missed it. And that's what was happening with a lot of these people. When Jesus spoke a parable, they were like, what did He just say? Because they missed it. I'd like to read a scripture in Mark chapter 4, verse 9. And I've titled my message this morning, Distracted Christianity. Mark chapter 4, verse 9, and this is somewhat and just still in the introduction. This is not a profound, I would say profound message. I think it's a wake-up call of, am I distracted in my Christianity? In Mark chapter 4, verse 9, we read here that this is right after he spoke a parable. Jesus spoke a parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow, and right at the very end of this parable, he says that he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were with him they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, and unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We can read this and think that, was God on purposely hiding the gospel from these people? Why did he make it so difficult? Did he not want them to be saved? Well, yes, he did want them to be saved. He wanted them to repent and be saved. In verse 9, we see there highlighted that he, right after he said the parable, he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He wanted them to hear the message of the parable that he had just spoken. He wanted them to hear. So what's happening? We see here that there's two groups of people. There's the people that heard, they were seeking, and then they asked Jesus to further explain it. And then there were those that heard, and he calls them those that are without. In verse 11, he says there, unto you is given to know the mystery. And this was after the parable. They had moved off and they were alone, and there were the 12 disciples and there were others that were gathered around. We don't know how many necessarily, but there were others, and they asked him about the parable. And he said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Why was it them that was given to know the mystery? It was because they were asking and seeking God further. But unto them that are without, without the kingdom, all these things are done in parables. They didn't get it. And in verse 12, it seems as though he's saying, lest at any time they should... In our own words of English today, it would be, because if they would hear and understand, they would want to be saved. But they had something that was blocking them. They were distracted from hearing the gospel. Does God block us from understanding? I don't think so. We read in Hebrews 11:6 that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we diligently seek after God, he rewards that with understanding. God will reveal himself to the seekers. That's what, when we read the scope of Scripture, we know that God doesn't hide his word from those that truly are seeking after him. Jesus knows our heart, and he knew the hearts of those that were gathered there around him when he spoke that parable. And he was addressing two groups of people. One group was there to hear because they were seeking God and they wanted to know what Jesus had to say. They were truth seekers, open ears, not just physically open, but spiritually open to hear the truth, even if it exposed their neediness. Am I in group one where I want to hear? When I read my devotions, when I listen to a message, do I want to hear truth so that even if it exposes my neediness, the needs in my own heart and my life, I want to hear it because I want to grow. That was group number one. Group number two, they heard the exact same message. They heard the same parable. But for whatever reason, it didn't penetrate. Something was blocking their understanding. Whatever that was distracting them from hearing the gospel. Matthew records this exact same thing that Mark has recorded here. Matthew recorded the same, the parable of the sower. And this is what Matthew said. Jesus was just finished and he said, this is a prophecy that Isaiah spoke of. And this is what he said. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Or it's grown hard. The heart is, Their heart is so hard, it's nothing is penetrating. And their ears are dull of hearing. They're hardly hearing anything, especially spiritually. And their eyes, they have closed, tightly closed. This is the Amplified Bible, how they would have explained these words. They're tightly closed, lest at any time they should see, and their eyes with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I would heal them. I should heal them, spiritually heal them. That was the group of people that Jesus was talking to. And as Jesus began building the kingdom of God here on this earth, when he was on the earth, which group would he want to be in the kingdom? It was those that were listening. Group one, the ones that were listening and wanting to know. And to them, he says, they would understand the mystery of the kingdom of God because they had their eyes open, their ears open, and they were seeking him. And this idea causes me to pause and consider, are there times when I miss God's leading, miss God at work around me or through me? Am I too busy to know what he's about? Am I too lazy? Am I too distracted? Too focused on other things? Or maybe I'm resistant to hearing because I don't really want to know what's wrong in me, the neediness in myself. I don't want to change that part because I'm connected to it too much. And God says that is when my ears are closed and my eyes are closed and my heart is closed. Am I alert? Am I paying attention? Because if I'm not, there's a good chance that I've missed what God's doing around me. John Bloom is a staff writer for desiringgod.org. He wrote this in an article he entitled, "Distraction Can Cost You Everything." Overly familiar, overly affluent, and overly distracted is a recipe for the kind of dull hearing that often manifests as being able to explain what Jesus means without actually doing what he says. That's pretty powerful. And we, friends, in northern Indiana, Mennonite Christians, have this recipe. We're overly familiar with the gospel. We've grown up our whole lives. We've heard the gospel, many of us. Bible schools, Sunday school, all the time, every Sunday, Wednesday evenings, we're overly familiar. It doesn't grip us like it should. And overly affluent. We have everything we need, more than we need, and overly distracted. We have all those things to deal with. And it's a recipe for the kind of dull hearing that manifests in being able to explain what Jesus is saying, but not actually doing what he says. We have plenty of those distractions. It's not enough to memorize the verses. It's not enough to be able to teach the Sunday school class or preach a message. Hearing requires obeying what it says. And that's the ultimate example of dullness of hearing is when we don't obey what it says. Dullness of heart. Isaiah said this, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Oh, that would not be us. And I'm raising this question this morning to myself, first of all. Am I distracted in my Christian walk? Am I distracted in my Christian living? Living as a distracted Christian could be compared to driving a car distracted. I looked up the statistics from the National Safety Council. It's estimated that 1.5 million accidents happen every year because of distracted driving. Most of that is from the cell phone. And when you're driving and you look at your cell phone, they say that in the time that it takes you to look at your cell phone and process what's there, by the time you look up, you've traveled the length of a football field or the length of this in the fellowship hall probably. That far you've traveled and you weren't watching. That's distracted driving. And how many times have we walked through, driven through our Christian life, and we've been distracted so much that we've gotten halfway through the year, and all of a sudden we realize it's October. How am I doing in my walk with the Lord? Am I walking distractedly in my Christian life? And if you're thinking, you know, I think I am distracted, you're not alone. Most of us can probably relate. I'm struggling to have my devotions, to pray, to connect to God, all those things throughout the week. And if I'm doing that, then I'm probably distracted by something else. This message was generated from a scripture in Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This is a familiar story. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, story of Mary and Martha. Luke 10, verse 38. Jesus had friends in Bethany, and there was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother. And here's what the scripture says in Luke 10. It says that, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And this phrase says that Mary was cumbered with much serving. The Amplified Bible translated it this way: "But Martha was very busy and distracted with her serving," with her serving responsibilities. She was busy serving the Lord, doing good things, but she was distracted with all her serving responsibilities. I believe there are two types of distractions, and the enemy doesn't care which one we employ. We talked about the one earlier with being distracted by all the things around us. And then there's this type of distraction as well. We can be distracted, not connected to God by not having time for God because we're so busy with life. The weeks go by and I don't sit down and read God's Word. I go to church on Sunday, but that's the last time I think about God until next Sunday. That's distracted in a negative way. Facebook, Instagram, social media, the media in general, sports, camping, you go down the list of the distractions that can take us away from connecting with God. They all compete for our time, and we put God on the back burner. That's distracted in a negative way that leads to dullness of hearing. And then there's the distraction, the distracted living that Martha was experiencing at this point. So busy doing the Lord's work that I don't have time to connect with God. It's wonderful to be used. Mary was excited to be serving Jesus at her house. And it's wonderful to be used in kingdom work, mission work, club. All those things are wonderful. But am I connecting with God in between those times? He's my source of energy. He's my source of purpose. Do I take time to enter into the secret place of the Most High? Or does my service become a chore? I don't have time to rest my soul because there's so much to do. I love Psalm 23, the part where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul." We need that, brothers and sisters. That only happens when we're in connection with the Father. Jesus knew this. He went off alone with the Father many times. And how much more that needs to be our focus, getting alone with the Father. But when we're serving distracted by all that there is to do, we don't find the time to connect with the one that gives us that restoration of soul, that spiritual energy that we need. Martha was serving, but she was busy and distracted in her serving. So what is the answer to victory over distractions? We looked at the negative thing, the distracted part, but how can I have victory over that? And I believe that it is focus. When we focus our eyes on Jesus, focused living, intentional living, it's seeing my need of God and making a plan and a goal to get there. Observe Mary. She was at the feet of Jesus. It says there that she, in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was listening with open ears. She didn't have dull ears. She had open ears and she was drinking it in. The chores weren't done, the clothes weren't folded, and the dusting needed to be done. But she was hearing God's word spoken, and it was burning within her. She wasn't a shirker, but she had her priorities right. What does Jesus say? He says, "Martha, you're distracted by all these things." The New Living says it this way. Jesus said, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." And then he said this about Mary. He said in verse 42 in the New Living, "There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it." Mary has discovered it. That is the key. Being concerned about hearing the Lord, being connected with Him. We need to put our hands to the plow and not look back, keeping our eyes focused straight on Jesus. No turning back. The waves may be crashing around us, but we remain focused at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary was. I won't let my carnality dictate my time or the media consume my time. The elections, the virus, social media, all those things, none of them will take priority of my relationship with Jesus Christ. He becomes my priority. That's putting my hand to the plow. Looking unto Jesus. My mind is stayed on Jesus because I trust in Him. He is my first thoughts in the morning. He's my last thoughts as I lay my head on my pillow and I drift off to sleep. Mary hath chosen that good part. And Jesus wasn't going to take it away from her just so that supper could be on time. There are too many distractions. We need less distractions, not more distractions. Unless we be hard on Martha. If we read in John, when Lazarus, their brother, had died, Martha, it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He didn't even mention Mary. We think Mary must have been connected to Jesus the most, but he doesn't even name her by name. He says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And after Lazarus had died and Jesus, seemingly late, came to Bethany, it was Martha that came out and met him there. And Mary stayed at the house. But in this moment that we read today, Martha was so busy serving that she was distracted. But her heart was right. I believe that Martha was definitely a follower of Christ. And friends, if you're anything like me, there are times when I forget my place and I get distracted as well. And the thing that we need here at Sandy Ridge, in our own selves, in myself, is to take inventory and to see, okay, what am I doing? And to set a fire within us, a spiritual man. Stoke that fire in our spiritual man. And allow the Holy Spirit to move us to a place where we sit at Jesus' feet and we will not allow life to distract us from following Him. Because when we're distracted, we become ineffective for the kingdom. May God give us wisdom and energy to follow after Him and not be distracted. Let's kneel, if you're able to kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do see our need. We see that how when we're distracted, we become discouraged. We see that when we're distracted, we become ineffective for your kingdom. So help us, Lord, to be like Mary and to sit at your feet, because time is short, life is short, and we need you to speak into our lives. Help us, Lord, to live lives that are powerful for the kingdom's sake. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.